Thank you for listening to the Renovate Life Church of God's broadcast. Here's today's message from our pastor, James Dimmel.
We find the real content of a man when he's challenged. Not when life is easy, but when we're pushed against the wall and it exposes individually who we are. In our study, we find that we have to make choices. You ever had to make a choice? Let me ask you another question. Have you ever had to make a hard choice? These Hebrew boys had two choices. I told you a couple weeks ago in Daniel chapter 1 that there's only two choices. They would stand with God or they would stand with the world. And so God wants to know, can he trust you to keep committed through the good and the bad, through the things of life that are going to get you up? You know, emotion causes us to go up. And emotion also causes us to do what? Go down. God wants to know if he can trust you when you're up and when you're down, when you feel good and when you don't. Amen? And the point that we see here today is, can you be faithful? Can you be faithful when you're successful? And can you be faithful when you're not? See, it's easy to be faithful when you don't have anything, because you don't have anything. But once you start to get success and you start to build things up, and I got this car and this house and this and that, when things come against you, it's not so easy to be faithful, because you've got a lot riding on this. You hear what I'm saying? Can you be faithful? When God takes you deeper, God requires a higher level of commitment. He requires a higher level of faithfulness. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, many men will proclaim everyone his goodness, but a faithful man who can find. It's easy on some levels to be faithful. Like I said, when you don't have anything, it's easy to be faithful to Christ. It's easy to be committed when you don't have any risk. When all the bills are paid and there's nothing piling up and you think you got it, but all of a sudden, God, let me ask you something. How did you get what you got anyway? A few of you are saying God, and a couple of you are coming around. But don't tell me, this might be bad. Don't tell me what you would do if you don't have nothing to lose. You know, we got a lot of talkers. Everybody once said, I'd do this and I'd do that. And you can get a six-minute expose, 3 points and an apology from them about what they would do, but they're not in that position. You follow me? Everybody wants to talk when they're not in that position. And so we find these boys and they're not impressed with the king. Chapter 3 is a transition chapter because Nebuchadnezzar gets his dream in chapter 2. Daniel interprets the dream, and the Bible says at the end of chapter 2 that he fell at Daniel's feet and he began to proclaim the God of the Bible. But oh, how quickly we forget. It's the tendency of man to fall backwards. You ever fallen backwards? Me too. I fall backwards a lot. And I want you to understand that the Bible says that Daniel gets promoted when he begins to speak to the king, and Daniel begins to promote his roster. He begins to promote his people. He begins to promote the people that backed him just in times of prayer. You ever needed some prayer and you call on certain people to pray? You don't call on everybody. You know, a lot of times you don't shout it out to the church. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, my church, you got a lot of visitors here. But you better start worshiping, you better start clapping, you better start being what God made you to be. Don't just sit there and look at me because you got some people next to you, all right? We're going to declare the name of Jesus here today, and we're going to declare it throughout MacArthur, right? Because that's our job. And that's what these three Hebrew boys did. Now you can text me about being abrasive later. Who is the reason why you are where you are? You ever ask a question? Some of you are standing in this place and you wonder why you're having trouble and why that it seems like you never can get ahead. Well, I'm going to ask you the question. Who is the reason why you are where you are? I want to repay him for everything he's done for me. He's been good to you. He's been good to you when you didn't deserve it. He's been good to your family when you shouldn't have had a good blessing. He's been good to your family when it should have been broken and it should have been messed up and it should have been torn up and you should have been laying in the muck and the mire, but he's been good to you. And here's the thing. When he has been good to you, you automatically want to be good to him. And I don't know why that we think that we can just be good whenever we want to be good, but faithfulness says that we are to be good to him because he was first good to us, because he first saved me when I was broken, because he first saved me when I was messed up, because he first gave his life to me. It's not because we're perfect and it's not because we're great. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something this morning. There's a lot of hypocrites sitting in the house. Well, Pastor, you shut your mouth. That's okay. You don't have to be a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. You know why? Because I don't always get it right. It don't always happen the way that I want it to happen. Sometimes I get in trouble when I shouldn't be in trouble because, hey, if anybody knows better, the pastor should know better. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Some of you's come alive. Your faith has to have some value. And when you get into struggle and strife, that's where you find the value of your faith. Now, that's my opening. I want to talk to you about three quick things today, and then we'll go have some tacos in a bag. Promotion challenges our integrity. You'll never get promoted without a challenge to your integrity. What takes place in chapter 2? Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. I want to go through it with you again. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to call him Neb because I can't say that. I'm too dumb. Nebi gives all praise to God. And so, then he reverts back. Listen to me carefully. He reverts back to what he used to be. He transitions back to the narcissist that he was. Do you hear me? Before God spoke to him. Jesus comes and he touches him. But the Bible says that this king of Babylon refused to renew his mind. You can come to the house of God and you can get a touch from God. As a matter of fact, wherever God is, you're going to get a touch because he's that great. But I want you to understand that the Bible says Satan wars against the mind. Unless you understand that Satan is constantly in your mind, he's constantly telling you things that you shouldn't want to hear, but we take it in so great. Paul said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. But the things that I want God to touch me and strengthen me, and I never find myself there. I always find myself in the place of things, in the place where I'm not supposed to be. You ever been there? Some of you are there right now. And so the Bible says that he didn't renew his mind. Now listen. The word renew is the word anakinosis in the Hebrew Bible, in the original text. It means to renovate, renew, rebuild, restore your mind. Well, when you renovate something, you kick out the old. You hear what I'm saying? When you renovate something, you don't keep the old nasty chair in the house if you're putting up new drywall and new paint and new carpet. You get rid of that because you got to have something new. And what we find in the church is a lot of people are renovating everything around to make it look good. You know, I can dress up the outside. I can put somebody's hair on my head. I can shave my hair off. I can go buy some fake hair and get me a mustache and a beard. I got to buy fake because I can't grow it. And you can fake out people on the outside, but it's the inside that God's talking about. So many times, we have a touch with no transformation, so we revert back. And the Bible tells us it's the tendency of man to fall backward. Nebi decides it's all about him again. See, that's what we do. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. He decides in his narcissistic mentality to build a golden statue to himself. Now, the Bible says, makes it clear that he built this statue, but I would say it kind of looked like him. had his traits, it was built and it was golden. And it was 90 foot tall by 9 feet wide. If I had time, I'd tell you what the numbers mean in the Bible. But today I want to talk to you about something specifically. The Bible says that he built this statue in the plains of Dura in verse 1. Dura means a circle of dwelling in Aramaic. So Nebi builds a 90-foot statue in this circle of dwelling. It represents an understanding that you can't separate the statue and the dwelling place. He wants to encircle himself with people that are just like him, that believe like he believes. You know, we don't want to be tested in our belief system. We don't want someone to come up and say, hey, I don't believe you're saved. Yeah. Oh, we got some people perking up now. What you mean I ain't saved, Pastor? Who you think you are? Right? We don't want people to test our belief system. We think that we can go home, do whatever we want to do, live however we want to live, and it's all right. It's all good. It's all chocolate chips and milk. And when someone tests our belief system, we get upset, don't we? Come on, the four of you that are online with me. I need some real people in the house. I need some people that have had some struggles and some troubles and had to go to God in prayer. Don't fake me out this morning. I want some real people talking to me. And so, I'm going to preach to you today. He's so insecure that he has to encircle himself, so he builds this statue in the plains of Dura. Does this represent anything you think that... Like, I know I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar, but can you paint a picture in your time frame and where you live? He's so insecure that he has to go to his basement. I'm sorry. You think I'm alluding to something? He's narcissistic and he has an attitude, and the Bible says that he superseded the law. He superseded it, and he begins to act like that he is the supreme being. See, when you take God out of the mix, you get into trouble. There's only one supreme being. The Bible said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except what? That's one way. You can't go to Buddha and get to Jesus. And I think that we've decided that we want God to take his seat with all the rest of the gods and that they're all the same, but I want you to know that I believe that Jesus should stand up. I believe his people should stand up. We don't bow. Everybody look at each other and say, I don't bow. I don't bow. Do you bow? I don't bow. I don't bow. And so, if we don't learn from history, history repeats itself. So King Nebuchadnezzar builds himself an image in the circle of dwelling. He suspends the law, and he begins to tell everybody, when the band plays, you got to bow down. Now, there's something that's very important here that the scripture states, and I've never noticed it before. The Bible says that immediately when he builds the statue, before the band plays, before he requires everyone else to bow, that he gets all of his representatives involved. He gets his Senate. He gets his Congress. He gets the judicial board. Read the Bible. He gets the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs all on board to bow down with him. Because the general consensus says that if you open chapter 3, that if you can get the leadership to bow down, if you can get the leadership to do what you've requested, are you following me? If you can get the leadership to stand on your side, then everyone else will fall in line like sheep being led to the slaughter, the Bible says. Come on, somebody wake up with me this morning. You see why it's significant? So he calls them all. He gets them all on his side. Normally, the reason this is transitioned is because Daniel writes the book of Daniel about him. But he puts in this chapter about these three Hebrew boys. And it's all about them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't get the memo. I told you last week, Daniel didn't get the email. They didn't get the email. And so they're just wandering around, and all of a sudden these people come to them and say, hey, why ain't you bowing? What's wrong with you? All the representatives are bowing. Can I tell you something else that the Bible says? That King Nebi caused a shutdown. Oh, you ain't listening. The Bible says he shut the place down. You know why? So that they could bow to the image. Oh, you ain't bowing, are you? I don't know. You're awful quiet for people that don't bow. See, people that don't bow will be called reckless. I think they will be called deplorable. Yeah. Pastor, why are you having a political message? I ain't having a political message. I'm talking about Daniel. They'll say that you're dumb. They'll say that you don't know the facts. You never heard any of this, have you? Nebuchadnezzar said, you're going to listen to me because I am the law. Some of you will get that. You know what I'm saying? And so he has a shutdown. And in this shutdown, he plays all of these things. I said to Wyatt the other day, I said, hey, look what this word is. And he said, what? I said, a sackbut. I said, that's an instrument. He said, oh, no, it's not. They play all these instruments, and he says, I've shut everything down, and I want you to bow down. Bow before the image. Bow before me. You following what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? And the Bible says that these three Hebrew boys decided they weren't going to bow down. They weren't going to listen. They weren't going to text back on the memo. They weren't going to, oh, they call you redneck hillbillies in MacArthur. But are you going to bow down? Are you going to stand before the Lord? Are you going to stand and say, I will not bow. I won't place my knee on the ground. I will not give up. I will not let go. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care if what I see does not agree with what God told me. I'm not going to bow. Anybody going to bow this morning? Look at someone and say, I'm not going to bow. No, say it again. Say it like you mean it. Now watch this. I got to hurry. We got tacos to eat. The king expected them to bow. You know what he says to them? I vouched for you. I gave you 3 years of the best education you would ever have. I put things in your hands that you would never have in your hands without me. And I expect you because of what I've... Be careful of people that are always throwing up to you what they've done for you. Oh, now we got some people awake. Hello, the phone's ringing. Do I got any people in the house that will not bow? Do I got any people in the house that will not fall? I'm talking about real people this morning. Do I got any people in the house that won't be afraid? Let me, can I go? I don't have time for this, but can I go back to chapter 1? Because there's something I forgot to tell you. When they put them in the educational system of the day, they were worried, and I need you to understand this before I move forward. The educational system of the day was not worried that they were going to change their children. But the parents were. You better be worried. They ain't preaching Bible. They're preaching atheism. You want me to get political? Let me get political about our educational system. They're going, you're sending your God prayed over children out to these schools. And I'm not saying, listen, there's nothing wrong with education. Right? My wife is the brains of the bunch, and she's got so many degrees, it's like a thermometer. There's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is when you send God-fearing children that have been prayed over to those universities, and they come back and they don't believe in the God that they've been raised to believe in. Oh, no. Hold up. Listen. Here's another thing. You send them off, and you've taught them for 18 years. They got them for 4 years. How in the world are they undoing what you've been doing for 18 years in 4 years? You ever ask yourself the question? Maybe it's because everything becomes before the house of God. Everything comes before the Bible. Everything becomes before prayer. Everything. And then when your child gets there, they're wondering, what's up? I never heard this stuff before. This stuff might actually be right. Oh, I'm in trouble now. I hope the tacos are good. And he says, bow before the statue. Bow before. Listen, your bills come due. And now I'm telling you that it's time to pay the bill. You're going to bow before the statue, and they're going to dangle it in front of you, and they're going to expect you to do what they told you to do. There's no science behind this. Do you hear me? Well, Pastor, I don't know that I can be faithful because I got a good job, and if I don't... Don't you quit. Well, Pastor, if I lose my job, I can't take care of my family. Don't you quit. Well, I'm going to lose my... Don't you quit. If you quit, it's just the same as bowing down. And they're dangling things in front of you. Because promotion always brings challenge. I got to tell you something else that you're not going to like. Don't tell me what you do until you're in that place. I'm sick of listening to people that have never been in that place tell me what to do. You know what I love about the Hebrew boys? We got any young people in the house? You'll like this. They were young. The Bible tells us that they were, 17, 18, 19, at the most 20 years old. You ever remember when you were 20? Shoot, boy, I knew it all. My old man, he was dumb as a box of bricks. You know what I'm saying? Well, now I'm 37, and I wish I had that old man sitting right here so I could ask him a couple questions. Am I talking to any real people today? And what I need you to understand is that they suspended everything that was going on so the view could be placed on the idol. What is your idol? Because see, there was all kinds of things. You know that Babylon was the wealthiest nation, they say, ever? You know, Donald Trump stands on and says, we're the wealthiest nation. No nation is as wealthy as us. It's because of me. And we're all like, yes! Four more years. It was rigged. All that stuff. I don't know. I don't care. What I do know that all this happened on the timeline of God. No, you ain't getting it. Whether it's rigged or whether it wasn't, God took care of it first. Four more years that. God says, don't tell me you love me if you can't choose me over it. I'd made it to point two. Are you glad? Favor attacks those who can't handle your promotion. Attracts. Sorry, I can't even read my point. Attracts. The three Hebrew boys were standing by their convictions. This is something that I love. They were young. Young people, they were young. And the older people of the day were falling into the trap, but they refused. Well, why is that so important? Because they weren't after the old people, they were after you.
Thank you for joining us today. If this message has uplifted you, we would love to hear your story. Go to www.renovatelifecog.com and click contact. Your testimonies are a blessing to us throughout the week. Renovate Life is a place of healing for the lost, the broken, the weak, weary, and stray.